So at this time, I'm going to introduce Pastor Ken Kiner. He's a man I came to know over at First Baptist Hesperia over a course of several years. He was a pastor in Nebraska, Colorado, Missouri, and Indiana. He was involved with the Christian Motorcycle Association, right? And he, according to him, he's rode with some of the toughest hombres around. And it was his ministry. It was to ride with these guys and present the gospel to them. And so I really appreciate him. I've got to know him over the years. He's been an encouragement to me over the years. And just whenever I knew I was taking this trip and I knew I had to cover two Sundays, you know, God just basically said, you need to ask Ken. And so that's what I did. And so it's Father's Day, and we're going to be having the Lord's Supper in a little bit as well, because we want to, on Father's Day, we like to recognize our Heavenly Father as well. So all that being said, Ken, come up and share with us what God has laid on your heart.
Thank you. It's good to be here today. I thank you for this opportunity. Christian Motorcycle Association is something I really put my life into for 30-some years. There were times when we'd go out on Saturday or Friday night. We'd minister all day Saturday, even into the night. And sometimes the nights in these rallies where there's outlaw bikers, it can get a little wild. And then to get up real early in the morning when it was still dusk, break camp, and go back in time to fill the pulpit in my home church. They allowed me to get away with that. I've seen a lot of lives changed. You don't expect to have a large crowd. You might go to a rally where there's 1,500 bikers. And they've given you permission on Sunday morning to hold a devotional. And there might be two or three actually show up for the worship service. But you know what the interesting thing is? God has a way of reaching people without using you directly, but indirectly. And so one of the nice things about the message and today, real men are men of God, is that you need to recognize that people watch you. And every time I say that, I think about that song. It says, I want to be just like you, Dad. I want to be just like you. So that's kind of like tuning dads up saying, wow, if you want to be like me, I got to look in the mirror every day and get me in line. You know, and the best way to get in line is to get before God and let God use you in that day and that way. And so you would look out around the camp and they would come out of their tents and get their bikes out there somewhere where they could hear, but they weren't hearing. See? And so you just go on like there's 1,000 people there, and you do your thing, and these people are over here listening. And so that's a neat thing. God reaches these people, and you'd be surprised how many will come later and say, share with me about God. I remember one time that an old biker came over, a patch on his eye, and didn't have many teeth left in his mouth. He had a beard that hung clear down here, and then he had braided it. And he come over there and he said, could I borrow a couple of your wrenches? And I said, yeah, you can borrow them. And he turns to me and he says, and what if I don't bring them back? You know, like he challenged me, you know, what if I don't bring them back? You going to do something? You know, and so I just looked at him and said, well, then it's yours. I said, but I need to warn you. I ask God to bless those wrenches with the Holy Spirit. So every time you pick that wrench up, you're going to know you stole it from me. You're either going to bring it back or you're going to get saved. So that's just kind of a story to let you kind of like feel into this. I opened up the paper this morning, one of the headlines in the, you may have seen it, maybe you didn't see it. Shot right out at me. That just kind of like tunes in with my message. And the headline was, Great Dads Shine in Darkness. Listen to that. Great dads shine in darkness. Amen. You know, so the family looks to the father, and when you go through crisis or you walk through that dark valley of turmoil and you know, it's dad who comes along and says, "Oh, it's going to be all right. God is with us." That it's not a time to say, "Well, let's just cash in the chips and go home." You know, a real dad puts out light. And so I liked that. So I took it right out of the paper right away. Somebody asked me one time, you know, where did God come from? Kind of rocked me a little bit. I wasn't really sure. And so I began to do a little research, and there's one place in the Bible. Just one place. It said God came from Teman on Mount Paran. And I thought, well, I've got to find out more about this. If God came from Teman, what is Teman? And so I found it was nowhere. And there wasn't nothing there. And that's the only place I could find anything written about it. And none of the commentaries over the years had much to say about it. So I just sit down and say, well, that's where he came from. God came from nothing, nowhere. He stood on the edge of nothing where there was nowhere to stand. He reached out where there was nowhere to reach. He grabbed hold of something when there was nothing to grab a hold of. And he put it in the palm of his hand and rolled it into a ball, spun it out here on his fingertips in orbit and said, "This is good." Then he took the hammer of his own will, struck the anvil of his omnipotence, and the sparks flew therefrom. Then God bedecked the heavens with the stars. That's God. That's the God you reach out to. And fathers that don't know this God personally and have accepted Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, that have come under the blood of the Lamb, have no idea how to be a strong leader in the family. And we need men who will lead. Every home needs a strong symbol of authority. When the father is willing to accept this challenge and at the same time be compassionate and tender in reaching out and in love, excuse me a minute. This morning, I get to hear from people that are really not my children. But they've either adopted me or my stepchildren already early this morning. And I'm sorry, I'm a little choked that, you know, I really don't have stepchildren. These steps are for walking on. I don't walk on my kids. And so I'm just touched that God would put into my life people that love me. And, you know, and that's, so I'm a little emotional. Just let me. Fathers actually cannot be all that they ought to be as a father unless he knows Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. This message today first is an appeal for men to be godly. Second, it is an urgent plea for every father to be in Christ and use his example as head of the church to be head of the home. When I was in seminary, one of the things that just struck me as awesome was that God established, the first institution he established was the home. So if that's the first institution that he established, then God puts a lot of presence in the home. The home should be an altar and temple of God. People ought to know when they come into your home that they're in the presence of a holy God. And God lives there with you, that your home is a shrine unto the Lord. And your life should be an example that people look at. I got these little cards made up and it says, Pastor Ken. Doesn't advertise a church. Just says, Pastor Ken, call me. And I go out and walk around and people all hand those cards out. And they'll say, well, you know, I'm not into church. I'm not into this God thing. I don't have no need of a pastor. I just hand them the card and say, here, 3 o'clock in the morning, when you're in a crisis, remember there's one pastor in this community that'll come to your house. That's why the phone number is bold. So you can read it. I've never had anybody refuse that card. But I have had some people that have called that number. You see, some way we got to let people know that Jesus lives within us. And what I say, that I'm a man of truth and integrity, and the greatness of God lives and dwells within me. So you trust in me, the Savior that I've trusted my life into. And so when I come under God's authority, that umbrella of God's authority, then I can have authority over that which God puts under me. And what God put under you, fathers, is your children and your wife. And I want to have a little fun with that this morning, if you don't mind. You know, when I first started out in life, I used to lift weights and grow busts, and I know I don't look that way anymore. I don't know. Old age lied. It is not golden. But I thought being a man was having an attitude. You know? Yeah, I'm the man. That's me. I'm the man. Tarzan, king of jungle. Now we have to think about being a man. And sometimes we think about being able to whip someone. Got him. I'm the man. Hand hurts, but I'm the man. Isn't it funny what young men will go through and what they think, you know? But I think that a real man is a good dad. And you don't have to have children of your own to be a good dad. One of the nice things about motorcycling is it when you pass kids in other cars, you attract them suddenly to the windows. And you're waving. I'm waving back. And then I remember I got to put my hands on the handlebar. Kids need to see adults who love kids. And then being waved at is okay. They need to see that. There are lots of children running around in our world don't have a father. Someone in their life right now. And so we as men, God, men of God, we need to be an example of integrity and truth and godliness and righteousness so that children can see in us what it is to be a man, a real man, a man of God. And not one with muscles and every once in a while, I had to sell my bike because my wife said I kept dropping it, so it was. I stop and forget to put my feet off the pegs, you know. But every once in a while, you run across people that like to see you out on a bike in your leathers and everything, and they catch that attitude. No. Hey, man. Cool bike. Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I'm not nearly as tough as you're trying to be. When I got into motorcycling, I thought that a real man was somebody who rode really, really fast, laid a bike over in the corner, and sparks flew off the pegs. I loved riding the mountains. I'm going to chase a rabbit here just a little bit. I remember one time we was coming out of Yosemite, and boy, they got some nice corners up there. And I'm really laying that bike into those corners. I am telling you, the adrenaline is flowing through me. I'm on a kind of a high. And there's a smile on my face. My mind is in never, never land. I'm laying that bike in there, and every corner I just kind of want to just... And I'm pulling a trailer. And my wife taps me on the helmet and says, you got a trailer back there. And so you have to slow down. I thought all kinds of things about a real man. Every once in a while, sometimes I'm just plain ornery. Have you figured that out yet? I am. Sometimes I'm just, you know, I ought to be taken out and shot. And this happens a lot. And then one day, it just struck me. I was in one of those moods. And I pull up to the stop sign. And I'm sitting there, you know, and I got my sleeveless shirt on. I'm 60 years old here. And I'm thinking, you know, for 60 years old, you ain't bad, man. Some guy rolls up there. You remember how I used to roll those sleeves up the cigarette package here? Lay it out over. You didn't have air conditioning. Laid it out. It had 55 twice, you know, like two windows down at 55 mile an hour. Got that arm out there. So you squeeze down on the door and it looks like you are bad to the bone. Rolls up there and he leans out and he says, hey, man, tough bike. And, you know, things just come over me. Sometimes I yield to the devil and let him have his way. And I just turned to him and said, oh, thank you. He laughed. The light turned green. I'm never going to see him again anyway. So, you know. God forgive me. I don't know. Maybe God sits up there and laughs and says, yeah, you got him. You see, the world has mixed ideas about what a real man is. A real man is a leader. And we need to be the leaders in our homes. And a real leader learns how to be a leader. And I'm going to give you some tips this morning. I want to first say to you, a real man is not the boss. Yeah. You may go home and tell your sweet little wife, hey woman, I'm the man. I'm boss. And she may not hit you with a skillet, but I promise you, like a cat crawling across the room, she's going to get you. We need to recognize as leaders in our homes that our wives are capable of doing things we are not. My wife handles the money. I don't even know if we got any money. But I promise you, if she turns that checkbook over to me, I'm going to make the national debt look small. I don't, you know, if I got checks, I got money. Somehow the bank doesn't seem to think that's correct. But my wife can handle money and make it work out. And I promise you, if I handled the money, it would not work out. Real men learn to listen. I got this man attitude, you know. I can watch NASCAR, the Denver Broncos, and listen to her at the same time. But my wife likes me to look at her when she's talking to me. So, did I hear what she says? Now, I think I can multitask. So I can watch this, you know, and cheer on my favorite driver. But actually what you do is you just hit the peaks of what she's saying. She wants you to hear what she's saying. You know, men, we need to learn to listen to what's being said. And we need to adapt the gift of listening to what is not said. We need to know that when we come home, that when you walk through the door, you know to go on to your man cave and keep your mouth shut. And she'll come and talk to you after a while. We need to know that when she comes through the door after a hard day's work, that you shouldn't ask, how's it go today? We'll get around to that later. Go ahead. Don't really mean go ahead. Go ahead and make my day. Real men learn to listen. You ever get lost? Oh, this is one of my favorite stories. You say, where's God in all this? I think God uses me to touch people that normally wouldn't listen, but they'll listen to me because I spark the excitement in their lives that you remember the old days, or you remember something, or something in your life, and suddenly God is able to speak through me to you. And you begin to feel the Spirit of God coming over you, and you begin to grow. And you begin to think about, you know, I never thought about that before. That preacher said, I'd be driving around. I just did that. I didn't know that there were two Chapman Avenues in Los Angeles. And I'm telling her where to go. You know, she's suggesting, well, we could stop in the gas station, or let me talk to that person, or, you know, and throw out these little hints, you know. And I'm sitting over there saying, me Tarzan, king of jungle. Tarzan know where he is. You know. God uses our wives to strengthen our ability to lead. And men who listen to God will be in tune with God talking to their wives. And that brings the harmony into a marriage, into your life. We were brought together for a reason. I'm going to dwell a little bit more on that, how God makes a family a godly family. Real men watch the countenance of your investment. God gave you a family. He gave you little children. He gave you these. This is an investment. This is a great responsibility. And God has put into your hands this child to nurture, to love, and to grow. And even though you pull your hair out sometimes, you think, you know, I brought you in, I can take you out. They're a gift of joy you need to cultivate. You need to find the countenance of your family, the beauty that's in your wife. And don't ever be too old to date. I love to date my wife. 17 years we've been dating. I mean, seriously, we go out on dates. You know. I'll call her at work and say, hey, want to go out tonight? You know. Never be too old to date your wife. Remember when you used to go over there and you put all that wax in your hair and you kind of combed it back and you had a, well, I'm going way back. Yeah. You probably don't know about DuckTales. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Huh? And you put that smelly stuff on. You know, and you knock on the door, and you got the best you that you can be, right there. And I'm taking out the best you can be, to be the best we can be. And then we get married. Do what? Watching TV. I tell young people when I counsel with them, you know. And get them ready to get into marriage. You know, you got to forget about chrome wheels, dual exhaust, and high-rise lifts. That comes after 5 children have graduated college. When we walk through the valleys of family, with God by our side, the integrity He builds into us, He brings into our lives a sweetness. I went to a convention one time just for pastors, and the evangelist that was speaking made a statement right close to the end of his little talk. He said, you know, man, you ought to thank God for the jewel God has given you. And he paused for a little bit and hesitated, and he asked for a response. Man, I was out of my seat so fast. I raced everybody down the aisle, fell on my face, prostrate before God. I said, God, make me the best man I can be. Make me the best husband I can be. Let me appreciate the gem that you placed into my care. And that's my prayer every day, you know. I don't know about you, but when Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden, and Adam didn't have no mate. And so God put him to sleep, took a rib out. When he woke up, he looked over and there was Eve. I don't know how you feel, but I think he gave God an A+. Creating woman. And so every day, as I watch my wife move through the house and do things that she makes me miserable. I want to rest and I want to watch TV. And she's doing things. And I try not to see it. And then pretty soon she's banging things. And then I'm out in the yard working in the garden. So that I don't feel guilty about not doing nothing. A+. God said to King David, you are the apple of my eye. Can you imagine God saying to you, you are the apple of my eye? And then David, he got too big for his britches as king, and he's got this tower above all the city, and he can look out on the rooftops and he sees God's A+ down there sunbathing. Bathsheba. And the devil began his work. And he called her into his chamber and things went amok. A few days go by and Bathsheba picks up her cell phone and, hey King, we got a problem. I went down to Walmart, got this kit, wrong color. Don't worry, I'm king. I fix it. So he calls Uriah in from the battlefield. Before he gets there, he goes down by the 7-Eleven, picks up some wine coolers and pretzels, and they have a long party into the night. So Uriah said, I got to get back to the battlefield. Got to get back to the men. David says, well, you're too drunk to drive, Uriah. You go on home and be with your wife. But drunk, Uriah knew more about being under the authority of a living God than did the king of Israel. He didn't knock on the door. He didn't announce he was there. He curled up on the steps in front and went to sleep and got up early in the morning, went back to the battlefield. And then the king went and did some other things. But you see, drunk, he knew more about being under the authority of God than did the king. We got to be careful about who we represent with our lives. I want to be just like you, Dad. I want to be just like you. So if I want to be just like you and I'm him, I'm going to look at me in the mirror and I'm going to say, you got to fix some things in your life. Real men listen to God. Real men are loyal. Real men stay to the end. There are a lot of things that I want. You've got a busy morning here. There's some statistics and stuff I wanted to bring out. But, you know, I'll show you one last little story and then I'm going to close out. As a pastor, I make an image of myself of what I need to be as a pastor. And sometimes I'm judgmental of others, and so I have to fall on my face before God and say, Father, forgive me. This is my image of what I think you want me to be. And I can't project that onto somebody else. I mean, when I first got saved, I had the filthiest mouth you ever saw, heard. And when I was drinking, I had cigarettes, and I fell on my face before God at the altar, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I went outside the church, and everything was all well. My mouth had a little work to be done with it. But I got real judgmental, and I began to go around to the deacons that were standing outside the church smoking and say, you know, if you're a man of God, you wouldn't smoke. You're destroying the temple of God. And I can't tell you how much trouble that got me into. I'm a Bronco fan. I remember the first year that they went to the Super Bowl. I like him. We're going to shut the church down. Move evening service up an hour so the pastor can watch his team get defeated. My chairman of the deacons came to me, who is an avid hunter. And every year he'd take off about 3 weeks and he'd go up into the Colorado mountains and hunt elk. He comes up to me and he said, I'm going to tell you something, Pastor. There is no orange on the cross. I don't know. Satan comes over me sometimes, just whips the daylight. I just do these ornery things. And I turned and I said, you know what? Ain't no antlers on that cross either. So sometimes when we're projecting, I want to project to you today how you might be a better you than you are now. I don't want you to think you have to go join 24-hour fitness and buff up. Because that's not what makes a man. What makes a man is falling on his face before a holy God and say, guide me, direct me, move me in the right direction so that when I'm around others and when children look at me, they will know I'm a man of God and God is who they want to be like. So I have this image of pastors and I think pastors ought to look this way and definitely pastors ought to be on time when church starts. Don't you think your pastor ought to be there when church opens up? And so I have five children. That's 10 socks and 10 shoes. And we all in a hurry. I hate to say this, but you know, sometimes I wasn't as Christian as I ought to be as a pastor. And I would run around the house screaming and hollering, let's go, let's go, let's go. You know, God don't wait on losers, move it. We're all in the car, and here comes my middle son. Russell has always pushed my buttons. He comes running out there and jumps in the car. His mom leans over to me and she says, he's got no socks on. So I turn around and I said, Russell, where's your socks? He said, you said, come on, come on, come on. So I said, you go in the house and get some socks on. Here he comes, one green one, one yellow one. She leans over to me and she says, they're not the same color. And we look at each other and just begin to laugh. Because you got to be a loving, laughable family. In my house, there was stuff to laugh about all the time. At that minute, we were on time. At that second, it didn't matter, green and yellow. Socks or no socks, 10 shoes and 10 socks. Suddenly, we just sat there and laughed. And the kids began to laugh. And we went to church like a family ought to go to church, at peace with each other. Now, I know I stepped on some toes there, but that's okay. Love is giving, but it's more than that. It's sacrifice. Love is not arrogant nor rude. Real men love their wives. Real men love their children. And real men love Jesus. As we move into communion now,
a song.
I want to leave it right there. Real men love Jesus. And you can be all that you can be when you stand in the shadow of that cross on Mount Calvary and you raise your hand to the sky and say, Lord, I lift your name on high. I just had to do a PET scan. I don't know if you know what that is all about. It's radiation. You got to be in this thing for an hour. And I thought, I can't do this. I'm going to get claustrophobic and I'm in and out of that thing. No, I can't do it. And I laid there and she said, it's time for you to go in and get on the slab. I wish they wouldn't use that term. And you put your hand above your head, you know how uncomfortable that is. And I suddenly thought, how am I going to get through this? And you know, for an hour I was there and I didn't realize the time had passed by and I'm singing to myself, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. That's how you get there. And the other song is, you know, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and His righteousness. Men, love Jesus. Don't leave here today and not have Jesus in your heart. Pastor?
Just heard a message primarily directed toward men that we are to be a man of integrity, a man that loves the Lord, a man that our wives and children and other people can look at and say that, wow, that guy represents our Lord. That's kind of man we're supposed to be. There may be someone here today that they don't know what it means to have a love like that. Love that was a forever love. You know, God loved us before he created anything. He knew who you were or who you were going to be and when you were going to be, and he loved you. And that love has never died down. It's never wavered. It's a constant, faithful love. And we're to be a reflection of that. And I know there's men here that may not have children at home anymore. There may be some men here that don't have children, period. But there's people looking at you. There's people that could be a young man, young lady. One thing that I've noticed when I teach the parenting classes, those young ladies, I never had a daughter, but those young ladies, they look at me and I'm the closest thing many of them have ever had to a father. Just for the 6 weeks that I'm there. And it's quite a challenge. Being a husband, being a father, being an example. It's not anything that any of us can do on our own power. It's only the power of God working through you. It's the only way it happens, folks. And if you don't have that power, you got a problem. There may be someone here today that doesn't have that power. You've never confessed that you were a sinner. You've never asked God to forgive you. You've never accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in your place to take the punishment you deserve. There could be someone like that here today. And for the rest of us, you know, maybe, as Ken said, maybe we, when we look in the mirror, we don't see the person we ought to see. I know I got flaws, you got flaws, we all got flaws. That's for sure. But how are you? How's your integrity, men? How's your leadership? You know, you've heard me say it before, and you'll hear me say it again from time to time. But, you know, if you think you're a leader, you need to look behind you. If nobody's following, you're just going for a walk. You're just going for a walk. If that wife and those children aren't following your lead, you're just going for a walk. And that's not what God intended. And you know, I know we got one young lady over here going off to college, and I've got some of my grandchildren, you know, here in this room and that kind of thing. And I got a lot of granddaughters. I only had 3 boys, but I got a lot of granddaughters. And, you know, they kind of softened me a little. I don't know. I was one of those men like Ken was describing. I had to be tough, you know. My wife always says, you needed a daughter bad, you know. But young ladies, what kind of man do you want in your life? Now, I hope you look for one that Ken described today. Someone that loves the Lord. Someone with integrity. So we have an invitation about being the kind of man we ought to be. We have an invitation about having Christ in your heart to start with, or otherwise you're not going to be the man you ought to be. There's a third invitation today. We have a Lord's Supper that we're going to take on, you know, on Father's Day. We ought to honor our Heavenly Father above all on Father's Day. And the Bible tells us it's not wise to take the Lord's Supper when you got things between you and God. And so this invitation is also for whoever may be here, and you know, you've just got some things going on in your life and you just need to come clean with the Lord. And so you need to do that. And that's what this invitation's about. You have every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Anybody here today would say, Brother Mike, I've never asked God to forgive me. I've never asked Christ to come into my heart. I've never admitted I was a sinner to the Lord. Anybody like that? I don't have the power of God in my heart because I've just been doing things my way my whole life. Anybody like that? How many men here today would say, you know what, I need to work on some areas that to be the kind of man God would have me be? Anybody like that? Just lift, I need to work on some areas. God bless you. God bless you. As the music plays, you do business with God. What's God placed on your heart? It might not even have anything to do with the message at all, but God may have put something on your heart that you need to deal with. Now is the time. If you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, now is the time. You come and see me. If you want prayer for whatever reason, doesn't have to be related to what was said here today or the fact that it's Father's Day today, you come up here and I'll pray with you. This is your time. You deal with God right now. He's laid it on your heart. This is your time. Father, Lord God, we come before you just thankful for fathers, for men, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to work in us, to make us more like your Son each and every day. May we be men of God that would please you as we go through each day. Father God, if there's anything in our hearts that are between us and you, Lord, I pray that it is made right. I pray, Lord, that we have settled some things here this morning. I thank you for who you are and what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.